Good morning to all of you. I am happy to be with you together to study what God has planned for us to learn from Hebrews chapter 7 about Jesus, our perfect high priest forever. So let me pray and we'll get started on that. Lord, we are happy to have this opportunity to study your word. I thank you for the privilege to study this lesson and present it to this audience. I thank you for every woman in the room. Would you open our hearts for your message to us? Amen. You know, as we go through life, there are some things that cause us to wonder and ponder. I grew up in a family with Christian parents, and I had three sisters. We all grew up in the church. We heard the gospel. But I ended up being the only one of the four that followed Jesus. Two of my sisters have passed away. We talked to them about Jesus before their death, but they were not interested. The sister who is still alive has asked us to not talk to her about Jesus. She is willing to talk with us about dogs, because she has quite a few of them, but not about God. We have four children. Three of them are following hard after Jesus. One is not following Christ, which causes us great heartache, and it prompts us to pray daily for her. How all of this could happen in my family causes me to wonder and ponder. Melchizedek, in our lesson today, is another person that causes me to wonder and ponder as I read about his life in Scripture. Since Melchizedek is one of the main characters in Hebrews chapter 7, we need to know some background about this Prince of Salem. Hebrews 7:3, speaking of Melchizedek, says, "There is no record of his father or his mother or any of his ancestors, no beginning or end to his life. He remains a priest forever, resembling the Son of God." That verse causes me to wonder and ponder. Let's look back at Genesis 14, where Melchizedek's sudden appearance and disappearance is somewhat mysterious. In fact, I call him Mysterious Melchizedek. Abraham had just rescued his nephew Lot from the kings of the east who had carried all of the residents of Sodom into captivity. Then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, we read in Genesis 14:18 that Melchizedek shows up. And Melchizedek, the king of Salem and a priest of God Most High, brought Abram some bread and wine. And the scripture in Genesis goes on to say that he blessed Abraham. And Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils of the war to Melchizedek, and that is recounted in Hebrews 7:2. Then Abraham took a tenth of all he had captured in battle and gave it to Melchizedek. The name Melchizedek means king of justice, and king of Salem means king of peace. Another thing I wonder about is why would God not give us the genealogy of someone as important as Melchizedek? God is big on genealogies. In the Old Testament, Abraham beget Isaac, Isaac beget Jacob and Esau, and so on. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew 1 and Luke 3, we have the genealogy of Jesus. But Melchizedek just walks on the pages of Scripture for a few brief moments, and then he walks off. A few say that Melchizedek was the pre-incarnate Jesus, but the vast number of scholars do not agree with that. Melchizedek is a picture of Christ, but he is not Christ. Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. Jesus Christ is the eternal God. He is the eternal Son of God, and he is the eternal high priest. And his priesthood continues on today. Scripture is clear. Jesus is above all. Philippians 2:9 says, "Therefore God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all names." That meeting between Abraham and Melchizedek caused the great radio preacher J. Vernon McGee to wonder and ponder. Listen as I read his thoughts. "Now, the very interesting thing is that when Melchizedek came out to meet Abraham, he brought bread and wine. I believe these two Old Testament worthies, these patriarchs, celebrated the Lord's Supper together. They were looking forward to the coming of Christ 2,000 years before he came. Today, you and I meet and we partake of bread and wine, and we're looking back to the coming of Christ 2,000 years ago. They celebrated the Lord's Supper together. Don't ask me to explain it. I can't explain it. I can just call your attention to it. This is something before which we stand in profound awe and wonder and worship. And this is where faith treads on the high places. While Dr. McGee's description may very well have been what took place between Abraham and Melchizedek, this king of justice and peace still causes me to wonder and ponder. But while I may wonder and ponder about many of the details of Melchizedek's life, I do not have to ponder about Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my forever high priest, because Scripture is very clear about him." Psalm 110 connects Melchizedek to the Messiah. This Psalm of David is referring to Jesus in verse 4. "The Lord has taken an oath. He will not break his vow. You are a priest forever on the order of Melchizedek." Hebrews 7 verses 22 through 25 say, "Because of this oath in Psalm 110, Jesus is the one who guarantees this better covenant with God. There were many priests under the old system, for death kept them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. Therefore, he is able once and forever to save those who come to God through him. He lives forever to intercede with God on their behalf. Jesus is our high, perfect priest forever, who not only died for us, but he intercedes for us daily. He is our advocate at the right hand of God. He is able to help us, hear our prayers around the clock. Jesus said in John 5:17, "My Father is always working, and so am I." Many years ago, knowing that God is always working, James, my husband, and I adopted a mission statement for our family. The Wimberly mission statement reads this way: "Present people to the priest being Jesus, through prayer, and present the priest to people through proclamation." And we continually ask God to help us live by that statement, to pray for people and to tell people about Jesus. Much of Hebrews 6 and 7 talks about how Jesus' priesthood is superior to that of Aaron. The Leviticus priest would make sacrifices on behalf of the nation of Israel, and those sacrifices had to be repeated over and over and over. Eventually, the priest would die, and his work as a mediator would cease. Another would take his place, and the temporary sacrifices would continue. Jesus, our high priest in the order of Melchizedek, is not only our mediator, but he is our sacrifice. He is our once and for all sacrifice. 1 John 2, 1 through 2 says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of all of the world. Because of his resurrection, death did not interrupt his work as high priest. Jesus remains eternal high priest." Hebrews 6:20 talks about how Jesus had already entered through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 4:19 says, "For the law never made anything perfect, but now we have confidence in a better hope through which we draw near to God." Jesus is our better hope. He is greater than Melchizedek. He is greater than the law and the Levitical priest. He is our only way to draw near to God. Until by grace, God takes the scales from our eyes, it seems like you have to keep the law and be a good person to get right with God. But we come to God through Jesus Christ, and not by keeping the law or by any other way. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father but through me." Now, while we all may wonder and ponder on many things, one thing we probably always know is where we are with the Lord and where our friends and family members are in their relationship with the Lord Jesus. Many years ago, God prompted me to pray for the wife of my husband's boss. And let me tell you how that played out. This is a poem that she wrote 48 years ago when she trusted in Christ. And she entitled her poem, "My Conversion." "All of my life to church I've gone, but to the Lord I did not belong. The songs were sweet, the people were nice, but I was never taught of how the Lord paid a price. I was always good and I helped people out, but I still didn't know what it was all about. Then one day, sadness and trouble came, and I was not able to call on his name. I felt so alone, so ashamed all inside, to find with the Lord I did never abide. A friend saw my weakness and so kindly asked, 'Will you come with me to a Bible class?' It was there that I learned about Calvary and the pain and the suffering that Christ did for me, that I must open my heart to receive him in, and he would be faithful to cover my sin. Now I'm a Christian. Of this there's no doubt, and I want others to know what it's all about." The friend that she mentions who asked her to come to a Bible class was me. And that was back in 1975. I was very nervous to ask her to come to Bible study with me, since her husband was my husband's boss. She did come to me to Bible study, and shortly thereafter, she trusted in Jesus as her Savior and Lord. She became a great Bible study leader, and we began a prayer group in 1976 with her and her husband and several others, and we are still meeting every Monday evening after all those years to pray together. We're all aging, but we're still praying. Keep in mind, you never know what might happen when you pray and you invite someone to Bible study. Chapter 7 of Hebrews shows us that Jesus is greater than Melchizedek. Jesus is greater than the law. Jesus is greater than the Levitical priesthood. He is above the law. He is holy and blameless and unstained by sin. He is our perfect high priest forever. Because of his perfect sacrifice on the cross for our sins, you don't have to keep the law to get right with God. It is not what you can do for God. It is what God has done for you on that cross. You just simply have to say, God, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for my sins and rising up out of that grave on the third day. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and make me the woman of God you want me to be. If you want someone to pray with you and be your witness that you have trusted in Christ, I'm going to stay down here a little while afterward, and you can come and see me at the end of the lesson. And for those who are followers of Christ, let's go out and share the good news that Jesus is our Savior and our high priest forever. And then we can wonder and ponder on what they will be like when these family members and friends accept Jesus. Scripture in 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us that they will be a new person. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and there's a new life beginning. So let me close in prayer. Lord, we have loved these first seven lessons in Hebrews. Will you help us stay in your word daily during our break? Will you help us pray for our groups? And Lord, would you pray that you put some women in our path that we can invite to join us when we start back, that you might change their life just like you changed my friend's life. Lord, we love you. Amen.